This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهديه واستنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وأرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه واجعلنا ممن يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه. أما بعد, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. In the last session, we had concluded our discussion on the Battle of Badr. After several sessions, we concluded the Battle of Badr. And now we're going to move on to the events in the seerah that took place between the Battle of Badr and the Battle of Uhud. So the next major event in the seerah would be the Battle of Uhud. But before we get to that, there are several events that take place in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We'll be going through that in the next few sessions, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Now, in the last session, when we spoke about the aftermath of the Battle of Badr, we mentioned one of the groups of Medina that had become exposed. Their true colors came out. And so they were the munafiqun, the hypocrites. But there was also another group in Medina which posed a threat to the newly formed Islamic State, and who also showed their true colors after the Battle of Badr, and they were the Yahud, the Jews. And so it's very timely for us to be talking about them as we see what's taking place in Palestine today. Now, right from the very start, when we talk about the history of the Muslim and Jewish relations, with reference to ayat of the Quran, ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we have to make it clear from the very get-go that whatever we say about this group, we are not being anti-Semitic, because that is what they will accuse us of right away. Whenever you criticize them, whenever you say anything about them, even if you're going to reference the Quran and the Sunnah, they'll say you're being anti-Semitic. And so we say, first of all, what does it mean to be anti-Semitic? It means you are against a certain race or ethnicity that traces themselves back to the Semitic people. And interestingly enough, the Semitic people are not just the Jews, but also the Arabs. And so, how is it possible that a Muslim is anti-Semitic? That just doesn't make any sense. And so, we are not racist. We do not claim ethnic superiority over any ethnic group. Every Muslim knows this. Now, what the Nazis did and what Hitler did, that was anti-Semitic, because he targeted the Jews because of that reason. Because of their race, because of their ethnicity, he felt his race was more superior to theirs. However, we Muslims, when we speak about this group, we are speaking about historical facts. And if these historical facts that happened in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam do not happen to abide by the modern rules of political correctness, then that's not our problem. We Muslims are not going to reject what Allah has told us about any group of people, or what happened in the life of the Prophet ﷺ with respect to any group of people. We're not going to reject it simply because we have to follow the rules of the day. And so what we're going to mention today is what actually happened in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with this group of people. Now, we mentioned previously that one of the very first things that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did when he came to Medina was that he had made a covenant between the different groups of people that existed in Medina. Between the Muslims and the Mushrikun, between the Muslims and the Jews, Ahlul Kitab. And so there was what you can call a peace agreement, a covenant that everyone had to abide by. And so this covenant governed the relationship between the Muslims, the Jews, and the non-Muslim Arabs, the Mushrikun, even though they were a very small minority, those who had not embraced Islam from among the Aus and the Khazraj. So in the beginning, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was dealing with everyone, including the Jews, as citizens of this newly established state. He gave them rights and he gave them protection. And he did not approach them with any hidden agenda or any biased prejudgment or hatred. Rather, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam treated them as Ahlul Kitab, as people of the book, who are actually supposed to be closer to the Muslims than the Mushrikun, the idol worshippers. In fact, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he came to Medina, he actually looked forward to this opportunity, because he was leaving these Mushrikun behind in Mecca, who were idol worshippers. And now he was meeting for the first time a group of people who we have something in common with them. So he was looking forward to this relationship. However, as we will see, it was the Jews who started plotting against the Muslims. And so it was them who broke their agreement with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, we're going to mention several examples of what took place that led to, in the end, it led to a confrontation with one of the tribes of the Jews. And so first of all, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam arrived in Al-Medina, what was their position? How did they react to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's arrival in Medina? They were upset right from the very beginning. And Allah has told us about this in the Quran, that how they actually looked forward to a prophet. But when this prophet came, they rejected him. And we have an example of this opposition that they had very early on. We see it in the conversation that took place between two of the leaders of the Jews of Medina. They were Huyay ibn Akhtab and his brother Abu Yasir ibn Akhtab. And guess who Huyay's daughter was? Safiya, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She ended up marrying him later on. So she says, Safiya radiallahu anha, Safiya bint Huyay, she says, none of the children of my father or my uncle were more popular with them than I was. I was their favorite. Whichever child of theirs wanted their attention, it was always me they put first. When the Messenger of Allah came to Quba, the village of Bani Amr ibn Auf, my father and my uncle, Abu Yasir, went to him early in the morning and only returned at sunset. We mentioned this when the Prophet ﷺ arrived on the outskirts of Medina. All the people of Medina were going out rushing to greet him. And so she says, they came home tired that day. So I went over to greet them as was my habit, but I swear neither of them looked at me. And then I heard my uncle Abu Yasir ask my father, was that him? So he was asking, was that him? Is he, meaning Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is he the one who was mentioned in our scriptures? Is he the Prophet? And so she says, my father replied, yes, I swear by Allah. And then Abu Yasir says, you recognize him from his character and his description? And so Ahlul Kitab, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was mentioned in the Torah and in their books by his exact description. And as Allah tells us in the Quran, يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ, they recognize him, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as they recognize their own sons. Who doesn't recognize their own son? Even if they were separated from their sons for a long time, if one was to be separated from his son for a long time, he would still recognize him. So Allah says they know him, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they recognize him as they recognize their own sons. He says, yes, I certainly do. It's him. So then Abu Yasir, he asks him, so how will you deal with him? What will be your relationship with him? Huyay, the father of Safiya, he says, by Allah, I will be his enemy for as long as I live. And so first he recognizes Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he is the Prophet of Allah, and he's sure that it's him. He has no doubt about it. Rather than saying, well, he's a prophet, we should follow, he says that he is going to be my enemy. Why? The reason is very clear. It's because, as Allah tells us in the Quran, of their hasad, their envy, their hatred. The Prophet ended up being from among the Arabs, not from Bani Israel, as they wanted. And so this led to envy and to hatred for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And here we're now dealing with the worst kind of kufr. There are different kinds of kufr. People disbelieve for different reasons, for different motives. And the worst kind is when you see the truth and you recognize the truth. You know this is the truth and you reject it. You reject it out of arrogance. There are some people who disbelieve because they don't think that Islam is the truth. They're not convinced. They think this is all made up. And then you have some people who, they know the truth of Islam. Nevertheless, they still reject it. And this was the case of Huyay ibn Akhtab. The Jews would also attempt to disunite the Muslims, to cause disunity among the Muslims. And so there was an old Jewish man. His name was Shas ibn Qais. He was from the Banu Qaynuqa. And so we mentioned previously that there were three tribes of the Jews in Medina: Banu Qaynuqa, Banu Qurayza, and Banu Nadir. So Shas ibn Qais, he was from Banu Qaynuqa, and this man had a lot of hatred for the Muslims. He saw that Al-Aws and Al-Khazraj had finally united. He saw that they would come together, they would sit together. Before Islam, these two tribes were at each other's throats. But because of Islam, they have now united. To the point where Allah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, disregarded these labels, these names of these tribes. They were no longer known as Al-Aws and Al-Khazraj, but rather together they were known as the Ansar. And so this Jewish man, he wasn't very happy to see this. And so he said, Aws and Khazraj are united in this land. In the name of Allah, we have no place here as long as they are united. Our survival as Jews in Medina is based on the disunity of the Arabs. And as long as they are united, we are at risk. And that's true. They survived in Medina because these two tribes were always fighting against one another. So they couldn't really gang up together to fight against the Jews. And so he finds a young Jewish man and he tells him to go to the gathering of the Ansar and remind them about their days of war. Bring up the various battles, the Battle of Bu'ath, in which so many of them had died. And recite to them verses of poetry that they would use against each other to instigate a fight between them. To instigate a fight between them. And so this young man, he does it. He goes there, he starts to talk to Al-Aws and Al-Khazraj about the pre-Islamic events, the wars, the battles that they had. And so slowly he was able to create a very uneasy environment. And so chaos was created. They stood up, they started shouting at each other. And then they started challenging one another to fight. And so they made an agreement that we're going to meet at such and such place to fight. And so war was about to start all over again between Al-Aws and Al-Khazraj. And so the news reached Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so he rushes to them and he says, O Muslims, fear Allah. Are you going to start the enmity of al-jahiliyyah, of the days of ignorance, when I am still among you? After Allah has guided you to believe in Islam and submit to Him? Did you forget Allah's blessing as He saved you from ignorance and disbelief and planted love and friendliness in your hearts instead of hostility? And so the Prophet ﷺ was asking them if they were going to bring back the days of Jahiliyyah while Muhammad ﷺ was still with them. And so he started reminding them that this unity was actually one of the blessings of Allah upon them. And so he was telling them not to turn their back on it. And so these words had a huge effect on them. And so they started hugging one another once again. And so as a result, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed ayat. These ayat are in Surah Ali Imran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِن تُطِيعُوا فَرِيقًا مِنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ يَرُدُّوكُمْ بَعْدَ إِيمَانِكُمْ كَافِرِينَ O you who believe, if you are to obey a group of Ahlul Kitab, they will turn you back from Iman to Kufr. وَكَيْفَ تَكْفُرُونَ وَأَنْتُمْ تُتْلَى عَلَيْكُمْ آيَاتُ اللَّهِ وَفِيكُمْ رَسُولُهُ وَمَنْ يَعْتَصِمْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ هُدِيَ إِلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ How can you disbelieve when Allah's revelations are recited to you and His messenger is among you? Whoever holds firmly to Allah is surely guided to the straight path. And then Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ O you who believe, fear Allah in the manner that He deserves and do not die except as Muslims. وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا And hold firmly to the rope of Allah and do not be divided. وَاذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذْ كُنْتُمْ أَعْدَاءً فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَتِهِ إِخْوَانًا وَكُنْتُمْ عَلَى شَفَا حُفْرَةٍ مِّنَ النَّارِ فَأَنْقَذَكُمْ مِنْهَا كَذَلِكَ يُبَيِّنُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ آيَاتِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَهْتَدُونَ Allah says, And remember Allah's favor upon you. When you were enemies, then He united your hearts. So by His grace, you became brothers. And you were on the brink of a pit of fire, and He saved you from it. This is how Allah makes His revelations clear to you, so that you are rightly guided. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed ayat discussing another problem of the Jews. And that was blasphemy. They would speak ill of Allah, of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of Islam and the Muslims. They wouldn't control their tongues. And so, we have an incident in which Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu has a confrontation with a rabbi of the Jews. His name was Finhas. And so Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was trying to give him da'wah. So this rabbi, he responds by saying, Your God is poor and we are rich. How can He ask you to give sadaqah? If your God is rich, He wouldn't be asking you to give Him any money. That proves that He is in need and we are rich, and so He needs us. And this was nothing new about the Jews, because this is how they also dealt with the prophets before them. And so Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was extremely upset, and so he punched him in the face. So this rabbi, he goes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to complain about what Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had done. And so when Abu Bakr came, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him why he did it. And so Abu Bakr explained. And the rabbi, what did he say? What did he do? He denied it. He denied it. He said, I never said that. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed an ayah regarding this. Also in Surah Ali Imran. لَقَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ فَقِيرٌ وَنَحْنُ أَغْنِيَاءُ Allah has indeed heard those who have said that Allah is poor and we are rich. Allah reveals ayat confirming what Abu Bakr had said. The Jew can hide it as much as he wants. He can deny it as much as he wants. But Allah tells us here, Allah has heard it. سَنَكْتُبُ مَا قَالُوا وَقَتْلَهُمُ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ بِغَيْرِ حَقٍّ وَنَقُولُ ذُوقُوا عَذَابِ الْحَرِيقِ. Allah says, we have certainly recorded what they say and also their killing of the prophets unjustly. You know, this blasphemy is nothing compared to what they have done previously with the prophets by killing them. Then we will say, taste the punishment of burning. They would also speak ill of the Muslims. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَتُبْلَوُنَّ فِي أَمْوَالِكُمْ وَأَنفُسِكُمْ وَلَتَسْمَعُنَّ مِنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ وَمِنَ الَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا أَذًا كَثِيرًا وَإِن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ. Allah says, you will surely be tested in your wealth and yourselves. And you will certainly hear many hurtful words from those who are given the scripture before you, and also from the mushrikun. But if you are patient and you are fearful of Allah, then surely this is a resolve to aspire to. So Allah is telling the Muslims here that whatever these Jews say about you, it's expected. They will make negative statements about the Muslims. Their newspapers will write blasphemous things about us and about our deen, and their media will accuse us of all kinds of things that are untrue. But then Allah tells us that their propaganda cannot harm, it cannot affect Islam and the Muslims, as long as the Muslims are patient and have taqwa, because the truth lasts while falsehood and lies vanish. The Jews were also disrespectful to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so they came to him once, and when they met him, they greeted him, but not with the greeting of Islam. They said, As-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah. Now, this sounds very similar to As-salamu alaykum, but it's different. It's missing the lam. And so the meaning gets changed as well. And so what As-salamu alayka means is, may death fall upon you. Again, this is nothing new. They did this in the past as well. They would change the words. They're told to say something, they say something else. And so Aisha radiallahu anha was there when she heard this. And so she comes out and she says to them, to these Jews, As-salamu alaykum, you sons of monkeys and pigs. May death be upon you. And so Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, don't say that, because Allah does not like such foul language. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed in Surah Al-Mujadala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِينَ نُهُوا عَنِ النَّجْوَى ثُمَّ يَعُودُونَ لِمَا نُهُوا عَنْهُ وَيَتَنَاجَوْنَ بِالْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ وَمَعْصِيَةِ الرَّسُولِ. Have you not seen those who were prohibited from secret talks, yet they always return to what they were forbidden from, conspiring in sin, aggression, and disobedience to the messengers? وَإِذَا جَاءُوكَ حَيَّوكَ بِمَا لَمْ يُحَيِّكَ بِهِ اللَّهِ وَيَقُولُونَ فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ لَوْ لَا يُعَذِّبُنَ اللَّهُ بِمَا نَقُولُ حَسْبُهُمْ جَهَنَّمُ يَصْلَوْنَهَا فَبِئْسَ الْمَصِيرُ. Allah says, and when they come to you, O Muhammad, they greet you not as Allah greets you, and then they say to one another, why does Allah not punish us for what we say? Allah says, hell is enough for them, they will burn it in it, and what an evil destination it is. So Allah tells us that the Jews would talk among themselves, and they would say, why does Allah not punish us for what we say? They would then conclude that Therefore, Muhammad wasn't really the messenger of Allah. Because if what we're saying is wrong, then Allah should punish us. And so Allah says that the hellfire is a sufficient punishment for them. The Jews were also supportive of the other group in Medina that we spoke about, the Munafiqun, the hypocrites. And so the Jews were the spiritual advisors of the hypocrites. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا لَقُوا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قَالُوا آمَنَّا. When they, the hypocrites, meet the believers, they say, we believe. We are Muslims just like you. وَإِذَا خَلَوْا إِلَىٰ شَيَاطِينِهِمْ قَالُوا إِنَّا مَعَكُمْ إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ مُسْتَهْزِئُونَ. When they then are alone with their evil associates, they say, we are definitely with you. We were only making fun of them. So who are their evil associates? The Jews. The hypocrites would go to them. When the Jews would ask them, why? Why are you saying that we believe? Why are you saying you're with them? So the hypocrites would say, we were only messing around with them. We were only fooling around with them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the munafiqun, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ ارْتَدُّوا عَلَىٰ أَدْبَارِهِمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الْهُدَى الشَّيْطَانُ سَوَّلَ لَهُمْ وَأَمْلَى لَهُمْ. Those who go back to kufr after guidance has become clear to them, it is shaytan that has tempted them, luring them with false hopes. Then Allah says, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ قَالُوا لِلَّذِينَ كَرِهُوا مَا نَزَّلَ اللَّهُ سَنُطِيعُكُمْ فِي بَعْضِ الْأَمْرِ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ إِسْرَارَهُمْ. That is because they said privately to those who also dislike what Allah has revealed, we will obey you in some matters. But Allah fully knows what they are hiding. So those who dislike what Allah revealed, who are they? The Jews. So Allah is saying that the munafiqun would go to the Jews when they are in private, and they say to the Jews, سَنُطِيعُكُمْ فِي بَعْضِ الْأَمْرِ, we will obey you in some matters. And so Allah is saying that even if you agree to a small thing in part of the matter, not all of it, then that is sufficient to classify someone as a munafiq. And so we Muslims, we need to be really careful about this, not to fall prey to the Jews and the Christians. Another thing that the Jews were doing in Medina was that they were preventing people from accepting Islam. Especially the Jews among them. They would make life extremely difficult for any Jew who wanted to accept Islam. And so we mentioned previously about Abdullah ibn Salam radiallahu anhu, who was a Jew and who had converted to Islam, how they started to accuse him of being a liar. After, they used to consider him to be one of their noble men, respectful men. After that, they started to accuse him of being a liar. And they didn't only do this with the Jews, but also they also tried to prevent some of the Arabs from accepting Islam. And so these were some of the things that the Jews of Medina were doing. Since the arrival of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Al-Madinah until now, we are after the Battle of Badr. So obviously this would lead to a confrontation between the Muslims and the Jews of Al-Madinah. So after the Battle of Badr, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after sensing this tension And this animosity of the Jews, he goes over to one of their tribes, and that is Banu Qaynuqa. They were the closest to the Muslims in terms of location. The other two tribes were a bit further away. And they were also the more powerful of the three tribes. So the Prophet ﷺ went to them. And this was right after the Battle of Badr. Only a few weeks after. So he went to them and he gathered them in their gathering place. And he said to them, O Jews, beware of Allah afflicting you as he did Quraysh. You guys have seen the end of Quraysh in the Battle of Badr. Beware. He went on to say, therefore accept Islam. You will know that I am a prophet sent with a mission. You find that to be true in your own book and in Allah's pact with you. Allah took a pact with Bani Israel that whenever a prophet would come, they would obey and they would follow him and they would support him. So the Prophet ﷺ was telling them to take heed from how Allah humiliated Quraysh at Badr. And so he went to warn them because of all the fitna that they were creating. And so what was their response? They said, O Muhammad, do you think that we are like your people? Don't delude yourself. Just because you fought with those who lacked knowledge of warfare, and thus you took advantage of them, if you fight us, you will find us to be the real men. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, reminding them of the Battle of Badr, قُلْ لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا سَتُغْلَبُونَ وَتُحْشَرُونَ إِلَى جَهَنَّمَ وَبِئْسَ الْمِهَادِ. O Muhammad, say to the disbelievers, tell them, soon you will be overpowered and driven to the hellfire. What an evil place it is. قَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ آيَةٌ فِي فِئَتَيْنِ الْتَقَتَى. There was a sign for you in the two armies that met in battle. فِئَةٌ تُقَاتِلُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَأُخْرَى كَافِرَةٌ يَرَوْنَهُمْ مِثْلَيْهِمْ رَأْيَ الْعَيْنِ وَاللَّهُ يُؤَيِّدُ بِنَصْرِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَعِبْرَةً لِأُولِي الْأَبْصَارِ. One fighting for the cause of Allah and the other disbelievers. The believers saw their enemy to be twice their number, but Allah aids and supports with his victory whomever he wills. Surely in this is a lesson for a people who have insight. And so what happened in the Battle of Badr was a lesson. But a lesson for who? Only those who have insight. Basira. Now finally, there was a breaking point in the relationship between the Muslims and the Jews. And so one day, again this was after the Battle of Badr, there was a Muslim woman who went to the marketplace. And as we mentioned previously, that the jewelry and the gold market was in the hands of the Jews. So this Muslim woman went there to sell or to trade some jewelry that she had. And so she sits in front of the store on the ground. She sits on the ground. And she gives her jewelry to the Jewish owner of the store. So some of the Jews started to gather around and they asked her to uncover her face. So she refused. The owner of the store then gets up and he goes around her without her noticing. And he picks up the bottom of her dress or her abaya and he pins it to her head. And she doesn't notice. So now when she gets up, when she stands up, the bottom of her body is exposed. And so she screams. Now, there was a Muslim who was nearby and he saw what was happening. And so he came over and he attacked the Jew who did it and he killed him. And then the Jews ganged up against the Muslim and killed him. So now, this news was delivered to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam immediately. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not waste any time. He called the army and he went over to the Jews of Bani Qaynuqa and he laid siege to their forts immediately. This siege lasted for 15 days. Now imagine, these were the same Jews who were bragging about their skills and training compared to Quraysh, who had been defeated. Now they are the ones who are shaking in their forts and they're willing to surrender. What happens after that? Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, the leader of the Munafiqun, he was an ally of the Jews in the days of Jahiliyyah. He goes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and tries to appeal for his allies. But there was also someone else who used to be an ally of the Jews. And that was Ubadah ibn Samit radiallahu anhu. And so both Abdullah ibn Ubay and Ubadah ibn Samit were allies of this particular group of the Jews, Banu Qaynuqa. And so they both went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ubadah ibn Samit, he says to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Messenger of Allah, my only allegiance and loyalty is to Allah, His Messenger, and the believers. I therefore renounce the alliance with these disbelievers, and I am not going to give them any support whatsoever. So Ubadah, he did this on his own initiative. On the other hand, Abdullah ibn Ubay, the leader of the Munafiqun. Now, obviously, the hypocrites, they were unknown. Meaning, no one knows that they are kuffar internally. Not even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would deal with this group of people as if they are Muslims. Even if there are signs that, you know, they are traitors, that they are hypocrites, he would treat them based on the apparent. And so Abdullah ibn Ubay goes to the Prophet ﷺ and says, be good to my allies. The Prophet ﷺ does not respond. He goes to him a second time and he says, be good to my allies. The Prophet ﷺ does not respond. So Abdullah ibn Ubay, he puts his hand in the pocket of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and he pulls him. And he refused to let him go. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam even said, let me go. He said, no, until you are good to my allies. And so finally, Abdullah ibn Ubay, he said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I will not let you go until you are good to my allies. They are 700 fighters who protected me against all of my enemies. And now you want me, and now you want to kill them. You want to mow them down in one morning? I am a man who fears the turns of fortune. Meaning, I fear bad luck in this. Because they're my allies and I'm supposed to be supporting them. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, they are yours. Have them. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam let them free. So the people of Banu Qaynuqa, they were set free, they were allowed to leave. And the one who would administer their expulsion from Medina, because that's it, they broke the treaty between themselves and the Prophet ﷺ, therefore, they had to leave Medina. And so, the one who would administer their travel was Ubadah ibn Samit, radiallahu anhu. And so they were taken all the way to Asham, to Syria. But their money was taken, their wealth and their property was taken as booty of war. And it was distributed among the Muslims. Now, some ayat were revealed regarding the stance of Ubadah ibn Samit and the stance of Abdullah ibn Ubay. Because the two showed a huge difference in their loyalty and their alliance with the Jews. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Ma'idah, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَتَّخِذُوا الْيَهُودَ وَالنَّصَارَ أَوْلِيَاءَ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضٍ وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّهُمْ مِنْكُمْ فَإِنَّهُ مِنْهُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الظَّالِمِينَ. O you who believe, do not take the Jews nor the Christians as allies. They are allies of each other. Whoever does so, then he will be counted as one of them. Surely Allah does not guide the wrongdoing people. فَتَرَى الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ يُسَارِعُونَ فِيهِمْ يَقُولُونَ نَخْشَى أَن تُصِيبَنَا دَائِرَةٌ فَعَسَى اللَّهُ أَن يَأْتِيَ بِالْفَتْحِ أَوْ أَمْرٍ مِنْ عِنْدِهِ فَيُصْبِحُوا عَلَى مَا أَسَرُّوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ نَادِمِينَ. You see those with sickness in their hearts, racing for their allegiance, saying, we fear a turn of fortune will strike us. But perhaps Allah will bring about your victory or another favor by His command, and they will regret what they have hidden in their hearts. So this ayah is talking about Abdullah ibn Ubay. And so he feared a disaster might befall him if his alliance with the Jews was revoked. Somehow he thought that his protection lies with the Jews. So Abdullah ibn Ubay, he did not have that trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the rest of the verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that He will give the victory to the believers, and the believers will defeat the allies that you are thinking that they will protect you. Then Allah says, وَيَقُولُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَهَؤُلَاءِ الَّذِينَ أَقْسَمُوا بِاللَّهِ جَهْدَ أَيْمَانِهِمْ إِنَّهُمْ لَمَعَكُمْ حَبِطَتْ أَعْمَالُهُمْ فَأَصْبَحُوا خَاسِرِينَ. The believers will ask one another, are these the ones who swore their oaths by Allah that they were with you, meaning the munafiqun? Their deeds have gone in vain, so they have become losers. Then Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَنْ يَرْتَدَّ مِنْكُمْ عَنْ دِينِهِ فَسَوْفَ يَأْتِ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَهُ أَذِلَّةٍ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَعِزَّةٍ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ يُجَاهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَلَا يَخَافُونَ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمٍ ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَاللَّهُ وَاسِعٌ عَلِيمٌ. O you who believe, whoever among you abandons his deen, then Allah will replace them with others who will love him, and they are loved by him. Who they love, and Allah loves them. They will be humble with the believers, but firm against the disbelievers, fighting in the path of Allah, fearing no blame from anyone. This is Allah's favor. He grants it to whomever He wills, and Allah is the all-bountiful, the all-knowing. So this last ayah mentions the attributes of the victorious party. Allah loves them, they love Allah. humble to the believers, firm against the disbelievers, fighting in the path of Allah, and they don't fear the blame of the critics. So the victorious party will not care about what anyone says. They don't care about what the media will say about them, or what the kuffar will say about them, or anyone else. As long as they do what pleases Allah, then that is enough. Now, Ubadah ibn Samit radiallahu anhu was then approached by Abdullah ibn Ubay. Abdullah ibn Ubay came to Ubadah and he said, "How are you going to revoke your alliance with these people who have helped you on such and such a day?" And so Ubadah said, "Now the hearts are different. And Islam has erased all the former alliances. And you are holding on to something that you will see it is wrong tomorrow." So Ubadah radiallahu anhu was telling Abdullah ibn Ubay to give up his thoughts, because soon he will realize that he has taken the wrong path. And Allah confirmed what Ubadah had said in the ayah that we mentioned, that if our loyalty goes to Allah and His Messenger and the believers, then they are the ones who will be victorious in the end. And so these were the events that led to the expulsion of Banu Qaynuqa from Al-Madinah. And so let us to go through some of the lessons that we learn from this event. The first lesson that we learn is, or the first thing that we can mention here, is that using the term Yahud or the Jews to describe these people is completely fine, as Allah and His Messenger used it. We shouldn't feel apprehended to use the term out of fear of being called anti-Semitic. And so we don't use the term to attack a particular race or ethnicity because of them belonging to that race or that ethnicity. But rather, we are critiquing a religious group because of the ideas and the ways that they have adopted. We also understand that when we describe them as Allah and His Messenger have described them, that these descriptions apply to most of them, if not all of them. As Allah says, لَيْسُوا سَوَاءً. They're not all the same. They're not all the same. أَهْلُ الْكِتَابِ, among them are the good, among them are the evil. But when Allah mentions them in the Quran with these evil traits and qualities, then we shouldn't have any problem with mentioning that this is a quality of the Jews. There's nothing wrong with that, because that's how Allah refers to them in the Quran. The second lesson that we learn is the hatred that the Jews have for Islam and the Muslims is ancient. And them plotting and conspiring against Islam and the Muslims is nothing new. When we see how vicious the Zionist Jews are today towards our brothers and sisters in Palestine, let us not forget that their enmity is old. It's nothing new. In fact, it is something that goes beyond the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Look at what they did to the prophets and the messengers before him. Even worse, they killed many of them and they plotted to kill many of them. And so when we see what we see happening today, we shouldn't be surprised. And so it's an old enmity. The third lesson that we learn is that the Jews never abide by any agreements or any covenants, but rather they are the first to break them. Most of them cannot be trusted, as we see in these examples that we mentioned today, of them constantly breaking the agreement. Again, this is nothing new. If there are a people who made an agreement and a covenant with Allah and they broke that, then how can you expect them to keep a covenant with you? Allah tells us in the Quran, in so many different places, that He would make covenants with them. The prophets would come and make covenants and agreements with them, that they're supposed to abide by this. وَإِذْ أَخَذْنَا مِيثَاقَكُمْ, when we took the covenant with you. وَإِذْ أَخَذْنَا مِيثَاقَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ, and every time they would have these covenants and agreements, they were the first to break them. Also, among the lessons that we learn is that the Jews are quick to ignite the fire of war among the Muslims, always conspiring to have us to fight one another. كلما أوقدوا نارا للحرب أطفأها الله. Every time they kindled the fire of war, Allah extinguished it. And so we see that example in what we mentioned today, how one of them, he didn't like the fact that Al-Aws and Al-Khazraj had united because of their Islam. So he went and he tried to make them fight one another. Also, among the lessons that we learn is the relationship between the hypocrites and the Jews. Their relationship is one of brotherhood. And so later on we will see how when the Prophet ﷺ intended to go to war with one of the groups of the Jews of Medina, later on we're going to see, after the battle of Ahzab, when the hypocrites found out, they sent a message to the Jews. They said to them, stay strong and strengthen your positions. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, calling them brothers of the Jews. Allah says, أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِينَ نَافَقُوا يَقُولُونَ لِإِخْوَانِهِمُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ لَئِنْ أُخْرِجْتُمْ لَنَخْرُجَنَّ مَعَكُمْ وَلَا نُطِيعُ فِيكُمْ أَحَدًا أَبَدًا وَإِنْ قُوتِلْتُمْ لَنَنْصُرَنَّكُمْ وَاللَّهُ يَشْهَدُ إِنَّهُمْ لَكَاذِبُونَ. Have you not seen the hypocrites who say to their fellow disbelievers from Ahlul Kitab, Allah refers to them as brothers, to their brothers, إِخْوَانِهِمْ, to their brothers from Ahlul Kitab, that if you are expelled, we will certainly leave with you. We're with you, and we won't obey anyone against you. And if you are fought against, we will surely help you. But Allah bears witness that they are truly liars. It's just lip service. They won't actually go and help them. Imagine, the hypocrites supported the Jews while the Prophet ﷺ was among them, and the wahi and the revelation was descending. If that was the case in that era, then them supporting the Jews today is even more expected. And every time we have events like the current event taking place in Gaza, the true colors of the munafiqun come out, the hypocrites. Their true colors come out. And we start recognizing who the hypocrites are. Those who, when the Jews fight the Muslims, whose side do they take? Not the side of the Muslims, but rather the side of the Jews. As they did in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, and as they are doing today. Also imagine, in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, the munafiqun, although they were few in number, they were a cause for the delay in victory over the Jews. Like in this example that we mentioned, of Abdullah ibn Ubay coming to the defense of the Jews of Banu Qaynuqa. The Prophet ﷺ would have annihilated them if it wasn't for Abdullah ibn Ubay. And so if that happened 1400 years ago, then today the victory is delayed even more because the hypocrites are more in number than the Jews. In that time they were few. And yet the victory was delayed. So how about today? The next lesson that we learn is that the Prophet ﷺ waged war against Banu Qaynuqa all for the sake of one Muslim woman to defend her. And so this tells us how important it is to protect the rights of our Muslim sisters. And so today when you have calls of Muslim women around the world and no one responds, what does it tell you? That there are no true men left. Because a Muslim man will jump to the defense of his Muslim sister. This is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. And this is also what the Khulafa after him did. We have the famous example of one of the Khulafa of Banu Abbas al-Mu'tasim. When there was one woman who cried out for help. She was in a far off frontier land bordering with the Roman Empire. And her honor was tarnished. And so she called out, Wa Mu'tasama, calling on Mu'tasim. Her voice was heard. And when she called for help, he responded by sending an entire army to fight the superpower of that time, the Roman Empire. And we will also see later on, perhaps next week, that one of the reasons why a notable Jew was assassinated, Ka'b ibn al-Ashraf, it was because he spoke disrespectfully about some Muslim woman in his poetry. So all of this shows us the importance of standing up to defend our Muslim sisters. Finally, among the lessons that we learn from this event is the true nature of the Jews. We see from this event how the Jews used to use words to indicate that they were brave. They're courageous. They said to the Prophet ﷺ when he came to them and he started threatening them, that look what happened to Quraysh in the Battle of Badr. Perhaps you will be next. He started warning them because of their ways, you know, their treachery and whatnot. And so what did they say? They said, you face the people who don't know how to fight. But if you come after us, then we will show you who men really are. And then when the Prophet ﷺ went, and the Muslims went to them, instead of coming out to fight, they hid in their forts. They hid in their forts until they eventually surrendered without a fight. Again, This is how they were in the past, and this is how they are today. And remember that this group of the Jews of Medina were the more powerful. Out of the three tribes, they were the more powerful. So what does that say about the others? لَأَنْتُمْ أَشَدُّ رَحْبَةً فِي صُدُورِهِمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ. They have fear of you in their hearts. They're not brave. They're not courageous. And that's why today they don't dare come to fight in front of us, but rather from far off, from their jets, from behind their forts, from behind their walls. If they were to come in front of you, they would show their true nature of the cowards that they are. And so this is the event of the expulsion of Banu Qaynuqa from Al-Madinah. Next week we'll move on to other events that took place before the Battle of Uhud. We'll mainly go through some of the individuals who the Prophet ﷺ ordered that they should be assassinated, and also some of the battles and the skirmishes that the Prophet ﷺ was involved in before the Battle of Uhud. So we'll do that next week, insha'Allah ta'ala. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik. أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك وصل اللهم وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.